Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today we're celebrating the 22nd annual Blackjack Ball, which occurred recently in Las Vegas. We have the host of the ball, Max Rubin, the newest inductee to the Blackjack Hall of Fame, Wally Simmons, and the winner of the James Grossjean Cup for winning the skills competition, Wahoo. Gentlemen, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Nice to be here.
Very nice to be here.
Hello.
All right, Max, you first. Usually the Blackjack ball is handled during the winter rather than the spring. Why did we switch it up this year?
Well, Bob, until this year, I thought I finally figured it out about 12 years ago. We started having the Blackjack ball on the Saturday between the last NFL playoff game and the Super Bowl. Worked out great for everyone. Said, let's do it again. Getting ready to send out the invitations, I get a hurried, frantic phone call from Don Johnson saying, I can't come on your normal time. I said, why? And they're having some monster race. Wally, what's the race at Gulfstream in late January? $1 million a horse?
I don't even know, Max.
Did you bet? Pegasus Cup.
The Pegasus Cup. Each stall and whatever they call that thing, I've never seen any horses run but once in this country anyway, was $1 million per horse. It was supposedly the richest race of all time, and he had a bit of a horse or something, was having a big party, couldn't come. Well, normally if somebody called and said that, I'd say, well, that's real sad, but we're having the ball. Well, Don is responsible for bringing in the Nebuchadnezzar of Champagne, which is our grand prize for the winner of the Blackjack ball.
And that's, I said, 15 okay. liters.
15 liters, and it's big. And, well, Don told me a little story. I guess I've got to relate it now, and we can leave this in or not. But Don Johnson, you guys know Avicii died last week. And he died the night before the ball, I believe it was. And he was a great DJ and one of the most popular, one of the most expensive. He was one of those $100,000 and up guys. And he stopped working a couple of years ago. And I'm not sure if there's a cause-effect, but there's certainly a correlation here. Not sure it's causation, but a couple of years ago, Don Johnson was showing off a Nebuchadnezzar to Avicii on the dance floor. And had it picked up and was putting it over his head, and he may have been overserved just a taste, and he dropped it, and it blew up, and it sprayed all over Avicii's gear. Now, Wally used to own a sound studio. How good would that be for your equipment to have champagne all over it?
It's not what we like to see.
It's not what you like to see, and it wasn't long after that that we stopped seeing Avicii, and he died on us at 28. Just a little aside.
We should, for the listeners, this bottle is like 3 feet tall and weighs
89 pounds.
There you go.
What I want to know, is he going to provide these retroactively to previous winners?
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint about not being able to compete anymore, is that I can't get one of those bottles.
Right.
Oh, you can get a bottle. You just have to buy it.
Yeah. Well, we may have a handicapped event one year where we knock off so many points from you guys, but it'd be tough. And that was Munchkin speaking, because he's won the event three times. He's now barred from playing. His game was too good, and we had to borrow him. So I digress. So Don said he couldn't come. I said, okay, great. We'll have it the week after the Super Bowl. And Munchkin said, no, I will be in Asia for the whole month of February. I said, okay, great. We'll have it in March. No, that's March Madness, and so that's dead. I said, okay, we'll have it the first week of April. No, that's going to be Easter. And then something else happened. Our first available weekend was April 21st. So I said, great. Everybody could make it then. We send out the invitations, and lo and behold, Dr. Edward Thorpe can't come on the 21st. So I traded Don Johnson for Thorpe.
That's a
tough decision, folks.
Well, yeah. but Don came with a bottle with a Nebuchadnezzar. What would Thorpe have? Thorpe would have come with his daughter.
He would have come with himself.
Yeah.
Because
he's
this
Thorpe.
Is Ed Thorpe. This is, without Ed, there would be no party. There would be none of this. It would have happened eventually, but he's really the guy that kicked it off.
Yes, he is.
I talked to Ed about it, and we're going to set it up next year and make sure it's a date that he can come. And
good.
John, we'll just have to deal
Not
with
good
it.
Deal.
Yeah. So anyway, we didn't have it, so we moved it to another date.
All right. So, Richard, you were a key player behind the scenes in this year event. What did you do?
Oh, you know, Max said that, but really he did way more work than he lets on. And the kind of unsung hero is actually his wife, Joanne, who does an enormous amount of work, and it's a thankless job. And so she really deserves a lot of credit.
Wait a minute. What wife would not enjoy throwing a prime rib, salmon, beautiful champagne dinner, and
for 100 people.
For 100 people, and then the dinner is at 7 o'clock, and at 10:30, having them descend on the house and eat more than they had at the dinner that she cooked.
And keep her up until 3 a.m.
Yeah, well past 3, just herding them around. And a lot of interesting cats at this thing. But, yeah, it's a lot of work for my wife.
Yeah, well, I had the after party the next day, which started at 2 and ended at 11. So my wife gets, of the work as well.
It's a lot.
Now, at the ball, we voted for who was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. For most of us, we get one vote each. For current members of the Hall, which include Richard and Max, and many others, they get 3 votes. When the votes were all counted, the winner in a very close vote was Wally Simmons, who actually won the first blackjack ball competition 21 years ago before it was called the Grossjean Cup. Wally, what does being in the Blackjack Hall of Fame mean to you?
Well, as a child, I always dreamed about getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I'm sure.
I just didn't think it would be for blackjack. But I'm really thrilled, to be a member of the same club as the people that I learned from, you know, Ed Thorpe and Lawrence Revere and all those fellows. And, I was kind of surprised because with all the young players we have around these days, I didn't think most of the people would even know anything about me or whatever, but I was approached a lot of by a number of young players or whatever that said they appreciated and still use some of the techniques that I had developed, and so that was a shock to me. So.
And also, Max keeps inviting your friends to come to the ball, so that helps.
Well, that's true. He does have a lot of friends, but there's a reason he has a lot of friends and a lot of respect out there. But and it's interesting that they're actually using the things he came up with. So his is much more practical than some of the theoretical things you may read from others. And a perfect case in point, there's a gentleman that's a member of one of the online clubs, if you will, that subscribed to learn how to play and has parlayed a pretty small bankroll of about $10,000 or less into over $1 million in a year, simply counting carts. But he forgot to read the chapter about bet sizing, and he was just going min max, and got lucky and won and could not get out of his own way and said, well, that was easy.
I think we had him on the show, actually.
Did you really?
So much for Kelly criterion, huh?
Right.
All right, as always, there's a contest where we start off with 21 impossible questions. Typically, each contestant knows 3, 4, or 5 of these, maybe. And their score is determined on how well they perform on the true, false, or multiple guess. I thought the questions were better than average this year, but that might have been because I created 7 of them. And for some reason, they wouldn't let me compete in the contest. I could have been a contender. Now, Wahoo, you ended up tied for getting the most questions correct in the written part of the exam. Which was your favorite question and why?
My favorite question was probably not a blackjack question. It was about sports betting. The question was for the NCAA basketball tournament in the first round. If the 5 seeds beat the 12 seeds more than the 6 seeds, correction, if the 5 seeds the 5 seeds beat the 12 more than the 6 beat the 11. I think it was phrased the opposite.
It was phrased the other way. Do the 11 seeds beat this win more than the 12 seeds do?
And I think part of the question said, well, I don't know. But the publicity is that they promote the 12 seeds when they win. But in reality, the 5 seeds do better than the 6 seeds do. And they win more frequently. And they've had I think they expanded to 64 teams in 1985, so that would mean there's 33 years under the system, and there'd be 132 games. And I just have I like groups of large numbers, and numbers, you know, do fall into place eventually if you get enough trials.
There was another sports question. I'm curious if you got it right. The question was, can you have a legal forward pass in the NFL if the quarterback's foot is over the line of scrimmage? Did you get that one right?
Yes. I mean, what is it? all parts of the ball and the body have to be over the line.
The body and the ball have to be past the line of scrimmage for it to be an illegal forward
all
pass.
Parts. So you could be reaching back, touching the line, and throw a forward pass.
It's hard to throw a forward pass when your hands
leave your hand after.
If any part of your body is behind the line, the ball can leave your body when you're past the line.
If your body is behind the line, sure.
If any part of your body,
But if I could expand on that sports question, it was thought that a number one seed could never lose to a 16 seed, and now there have been 132 of these games, and as a graduate of the University of Virginia, we were the first team to finally lose.
But and proud of it.
Are you taking personal responsibility
for
this?
So that's one out of 132 that's occurred, and that's probably about right. It's about a 1% chance.
As a Virginian myself, I'm not surprised about that.
And the public just seems to underestimate the chance of outlier events in general. So that was just a reminder, yes, this event can happen. So probably won't happen for a while.
But. So, Wally, what was your favorite question?
Well, that's pretty easy. My favorite question was the one about which casino hosted the Hi-Li Fronton.
Yeah?
Because I used to hang out there when it got hot walking up and down the strip. So I spent a lot of time in that Fronton.
Did you ever did you ever bet the Hi-Li?
I did bet the Hi-Li. And in fact, I had a Hi-Li system that I used back in Rhode Island and Connecticut. You couldn't do it at the MGM because it was the MGM only had exactas. They didn't have trifectas. And my system was a trifecta system. But we won a fair amount of money back there doing that. It's an interesting game because they use a system of scoring called the Super 7 system of scoring. And the players get in line. So number one plays number two, and the loser goes to the back of the line. Then whoever won plays the next guy in line and so forth. So because of the way that they cycle around, certain combinations in the trifectas, it would be very unusual for them to come up. And something like 20% of the combinations happen more than half the time.
What's the most likely?
Yeah, you're asking me something from 40 years ago. So I don't recall. But I also like some of the other questions on here. I like the one about the casino that did the horse racing, because I was kind of around right after that. And I like the question about which situation gave you the most advantage, a six-up in blackjack or a 10 in the war and so forth. I like those kind of questions because if you think hard enough, you can kind of, even if you don't know right offhand the answer, you can kind of like work your way through it and get a good guess at it.
Yeah, just for our listeners, the question about the first question was which casino in Las Vegas had horse racing? And it was a multiple choice, but the answer was the Thunderbird had, it was called the Thunderbird Downs Racetrack. And the other question was which gives you the highest edge, a six up in blackjack for the dealer, knowing your first card for the player is going to be a 9 in Baccarat, knowing your bet card is going to be a 10 in Casino War, or knowing that your first card in 3-card poker is going to be a king. And that was one of James Grosjean's questions that he submitted. And it turns out that the 10 in Casino War is the best of those by a pretty good margin.
Pretty good margin.
Right.
Nobody likes any of my questions. We're going to have to get better guests next time we do the blackjack ball. That is just all there is to it.
Well, I should mention my favorite question was which member of the Blackjack Hall of Fame occasionally drives for Uber.
Yeah, that ranks right up there.
Yeah, and turns out that was Bill Benter, which shocked, I think, a lot of people.
Probably not more than it shocks the customers that call and have him pull up in a Rolls or a Bentley or a Aston Martin and says, "Where can I take you, sir?"
And Bob, if you had marked which questions were yours, I would have picked one.
Ah, oh, wow. Good. It does sound like he wants to be invited back.
One that Bob's, well, a version of that was one Bob submitted. We rewrote it.
I'm not sure if this was one of yours. It certainly wasn't one of mine about which was not a racehorse at a U.S. track last year.
Yeah, that was.
Hip to be Don. Munchkin Money, Thorperific, so it's Thorperific, M. Miss Brown, which was a tip of the hat to a pretty infamous professional lady that's out there, been playing for a couple of decades now, and a Toast to Max, and none of those were legitimate horses. And strangely enough, all but Thorporific ran last year. Don't know if they paid, but they all ran on tracks last year.
It's funny because Don Johnson.
Munchkin?
No, that was another one that came from James. It's funny that Don Johnson, I went up to him before we graded the test, and I said, "Did you get the horse racing?" And he's like, "Yeah, none of those are horses." I started laughing. I said, "Well, they're all horses except for
That's
one."
That's funny.
That's funny how a lot of horse players, you know, they rely on their computers and they could care less what the horses' names are most of the time.
Sure, yeah. But Don goes to a lot of races, so you would think he would have, you know.
All right, let's get to the results of the competition. Wahoo and Attorney WRX tied for the most correct, so they were at the final table for sure.
They were, and if I may interject, we now have a new rule, and it's called the Wahoo disqualification penalty. Because this year, Wahoo, along with John Chang, who just happened to be sitting next to each other, weren't you?
Yeah.
I think you were. And we collect all the cards, and if you have any scratch-outs, anything left blank, you're disqualified. And Anthony Curtis this year left a true-false blank because he was thinking about something else and forgot to get back to it. And Munchkin pointed it out, and he was DQ'd. And he would have been among the very top people up there with 11.
Yeah, he would have been at the final table.
He'd have been at the final table, yeah. And that cost him. And he's not sour about it at all. He just hasn't talked to anybody for a week at the office. But otherwise, he's fine with it. But so it's going as usual. You can't change anything. You can use the back to calculate. Well, there was nothing really to calculate unless you happen to be an uber genius figuring out if a randomly shuffled deck of cards within 3%, what are the chances that the ace and a jack would be next to each other? Okay. So, great. Followed all the rules. So there's a letter of the law and there's a spirit of the law. The letter of the law was you can't change anything. That's all I said. I didn't say you could leave it blank on the back, write down the questions on the, leave it blank on the front, write down questions on the back, and think about them after we quit asking questions and then just sit there and say, I'm not done yet. And there were two guys that did that. Wahoo?
I don't recall that. I filled them out properly.
I don't recall it. He has hired good attorneys. He's lived in Virginia, right by Washington, D.C. I can't seem to recall. I do recall. So next year, we are going to have, because I kept trying to take it from him, and they weren't filled out. And they kept flipping them over and filling them out and filling them out. And wouldn't you know who got to go to the finals table? The guys that took an extra minute to finish their card after all other cards had been turned in. So next year, 15 seconds after this last question is repeated twice, you have to hold up your card and it will be selected. Everybody in the room. There will be no more of that. I admire the move, but
what were you
got
calculating for that time?
I don't know what you they were doing. What were you doing?
I can see John being able to try to work that out on paper, but
he's making faces and doing these hand gestures, and it's pretty Italian of him for being a Wahoo. But what were you doing there, Wahoo? The mic can't pick up the grunts.
I recall I finished all the questions on time.
All right. So, but yes. Max.
But there was a lot of free champagne at the party.
That's true. And I do admire people that do drink while they play. So I didn't DQ you, but next year we will have an adjustment.
And Max, you wouldn't respect him if he didn't cheat a little bit.
Well, that's not, like I said, within the letter of the law, he played to it. He didn't play within the spirit.
All right. So,
he did get
tied for the most.
Yep.
And there were five other people who scored one amount less. So now there's a competition among those five as to eliminate two of them. The question was to name a casino in Arizona, New Mexico, or Colorado, which had blackjack.
Or Utah. It's the Four Corners.
It's the Four Corners.
Yeah, well, not a lot of them in Utah.
No, not
and a lot. That had legal blackjack games in March of this year. Now, they kept going until somebody either duplicated one of the casinos or couldn't come up with a real one. Hall of Famer Bill Benter could not come up with any. He actually said Cripple Creek, which is a nice city in Colorado, but there's no casino named Cripple Creek. And Bob Nersessian's wife and law partner, Thea Sankiewicz, was the other one who bailed. So that left us with...
No, she got one right.
She got
that lawsuit.
No, she got one right, But she was
when it
the
came
one.
Back
when it came back through, yeah. She
came
couldn't
back
get
around.
Another one.
Yeah, she didn't come.
She and she
come.
Made a great guess. I think she said Red Hawk, something like that. She came, or Red Feather or something, which was a good guess with Native American gaming in two of those
it's
states.
It's funny because Jake, who did make it to the final table, used to live in Tucson, and so he said Desert Diamond. But he said if it came around again, there are only two casinos in Tucson, and those were the only two he knew. So
he could have said the other Desert Diamond.
Right? Well, he was going to try Casino del Sol and then Casino of the Sun.
Oh, there you go.
To see if it had two names.
It's amazing to me that that Jake made it as long as he's been out of the game and everything. So.
Yeah, 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 that's true. But he knows a lot of trivia. So
yes, he does.
And he can count still. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
He did. Now, the three who made it to the finals, along with Wahoo and WRX, would be Tony S., who was from the Greek blackjack team, John Chang, former leader of the MIT blackjack team, and Jake Jacobs, who lives in Singapore and just happened to be visiting his brother, Richard Munchkin, at the time of the ball. The first skills test is for each player to have a well-shuffled double deck with three cards removed. The players need to count down the remaining 101 cards and correctly identify whether the cards are high or low according to the count they were using.
Or neutral.
Or neutral. The slowest player to misidentify the three cards loses. And in case all five players correctly identify the cards, the slowest player is out. Three of the five players end up miscounting the deck or getting the answer wrong, which is rather pathetic at the blackjack
quite
ball.
Really, really embarrassing.
Now, Jake Jacobs was the slowest, possibly because he hasn't done it in 29 years. But while he correctly determined the count was minus one, he misstated what it meant. Minus one means there's an extra low card in the three remaining, and Jake stated it as an extra high card. The only judge on this was Richard Munchkin, who ruled Jake was out. Nepotism works in the White House these days, but not so much at the blackjack ball.
Yeah, it was odd because we really even kind of gave him a second chance because he said the count's minus one, so that means there's one extra 10 left. And I think it was Tommy Hyland behind him who said, you got it backwards or something. And I said, so what's your answer? And he goes, minus one, so there's one extra 10. And oh, well.
Oh, well.
Wahoo. Do you want to, was it the champagne again that got your count off?
No, no, I think I got my count correct.
Wahoo got it right, and Tony S. got it right. John Chang got it wrong.
Oh, I
and WRX got it wrong. So, but Wahoo Wahoo was the second slowest.
Well, my strategy was, as long as I got the count correct, and there was one that finished after me, I would be guaranteed to move on. So I stood up behind Jake, and I just made sure I was a little bit ahead of him, because he seems like he would have the least dexterity of the four
yeah,
competitors.
Yeah, dexterity was his main problem. I mean, if you looked at the way he was trying to go through the cards.
Oh, there are some pitiful count ways. People taking them and slapping them and flapping them over, and it doubles your time. Where someone like John Chang, I don't know if you recall, but the first or second blackjack ball, he beat 8 seconds. And we had someone else in the Hall of Fame, Daryl Purpose. Remember when he could count 6 decks in a minute?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Spread the cards and scoop them up and pick up 6, and he'd tell you what the count was. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But John Chang used to be able to crack 10 in his sleep. 10 yeah. seconds, but 8, he'd beat 8 for money. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Because he fanned the cards, and that's the way you look at them. But a lot of guys don't do that still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the second contest, Richard put a stack of 133 cards in the discard tray and asked each of the remaining four contestants to write down how many cards were there. Wahoo wrote down 131, which was the best guess.
Somebody had 134. I think it was John. Yeah.
Chang had 134?
Yeah.
So he won that, right?
Tony was
in third place, and
he was off by nine,
and the WRX was off by a mile.
Well, like a dozen or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're down to three.
WRX is gone.
WRX is gone, and now we get another contest, which is kind of embarrassing to everybody. This one requires people to memorize a sequence of cards. So Richard fans out all the cards, and they have to memorize them.
Gave them like 45 seconds to look at the cards.
And once they had them all out, then they would pick up decks and then display the card at the proper time. First one was the Three of Clubs. All three of them got it. Good. The next one was the Ace of Clubs. All three of them got it. Third one, we don't do so good. Tony S. correctly identified the Six of Spades, but John Chang guessed the Six of Clubs, and Wahoo guessed the Six of Diamonds. So, for sure, Tony S. is going to move on, but now it's between John Chang and Wahoo to eliminate themselves. The fourth card was the King of Spades. John guessed it as the Queen of Spades, and Wahoo guessed it as the Ten of Spades. Now, although it didn't matter, Tony S. was showing off, and he correctly showed the King of Spades. Now, the dealer Munchkin had a decision to make now. Now, John's guess was closer than Wahoo's, so presumably Wahoo could have been eliminated. Don't know. The rules hadn't been written to that degree. Also, both remaining players had missed two in a row. Was there any reason to believe they would get the next one? Richard, what was going through your mind at this point?
Well, all I was thinking about was we didn't have any plan for what happened if people were tying here, you know.
No, and heading into the event, I expressed a little of my concern over the memorization because it puts the people that are having a great time and drink a bottle or a bottle and a half of champagne on their own at a pretty distinct disadvantage. And here you have John Chang, who I rarely see drink much, and I don't think he got into much, but something happened because he couldn't remember
the third card.
Three
third
cards.
Card or the fourth card.
Or the fifth.
And in years gone by, I know he's remembered 15. He's brilliant with that stuff. And he was completely off. He must have been off a card or something. I'm not quite sure. But it's pretty amazing. Not that you missed some, because you had a good time there, Wahoo.
I should have had a handicap in my favor.
Yeah.
For the alcohol. But
So anyway, Richard decided to give one more try. And against all odds, Wahoo came up with the right card. He came up with a 10 of diamonds, and John Chang missed it again, and Tony S. also got the 10 of diamonds.
Well, you know, this stuff really makes you wonder about MIT. John Chang goes to MIT. He can't remember three cards, but we had Andy Block make the final table 1 year, and he went out on the first card, and he graduated from MIT as well. So all of you out there listening, there's hope for you yet. No matter what, you could beat Andy Block in a memorization contest once anyway.
As I recall, Max, you suggested that Andy try to get his tuition money back from MIT because clearly it was wasted money.
It was. Certainly his parents should have gotten every dime back. But
is there a course in that at MIT, though? That's the question.
Probably not. It's probably too simple. They don't do the easy stuff. They just jump to the hard stuff and they leave it behind. And that's actually what happened in some of these memorization things. Guys were thinking the cards were going to come right down the road to like the sixth, so they didn't start memorizing until the fifth spot or sixth spot or wherever they had to be on the table. It used to rotate around the table, so they were memorizing every sixth or fifth or third or whatever it may happen to be.
Well, if you're trying to memorize, 15 cards, it's easy to forget the first ones.
Yeah.
Next year I'll know if they have a contest like that. I'm only going to try to memorize four.
Well, that's all you'd need to do. Plus, Munchkin threw in suits this year, too. That made it a lot harder.
Yes, three would have done it this year. All right. So before we get to, we find out the last question with which Wahoo triumphed over Tony. Yes. We're going to have some commercials. South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. Beginning Monday, April 30th through May 24th, Monday through Thursday, you may earn 300 points and earn a spin at the kiosk. The prizes include 2,500 or 5,000 points, which are worth $7.50 or $15 respectively, free buffet, $10 in food, $25 in resort credit, $15, $25, or $50 in free play.
For 300 points?
300 points.
Is that 300 through the machine?
300 through the machine.
Wow. That's a good deal.
It is a good deal. Percentage-wise, it is very high, and it is only one prize a day. So you have to. There's transportation cost to getting there. But for locals, low rollers, excellent play.
And from a rank amateur in that world, what time does the clock change?
At South Point?
Yes.
3 a.m.
So if you're there at 2:58, you can put in 300 and then put in 300 at 3:02 and you get it twice?
I believe so. I will believe so. Maybe. I will.
Okay.
I don't have the rules in front of me, but I believe that's correct.
Okay. I don't know if they time stamp the buffet, because I doubt that the buffet is really good at 3 in the morning, but otherwise.
Well, there are no complaints on the buffet at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can tell you that.
They do have a buffet at 3 in the morning?
No, they have a closed buffet at 3 in the morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a free lunch or breakfast buffet. Breakfast, I think, is 8 to 10. Lunch is 11 to 2, maybe. All right. Monday remains senior day. For those 50 years of age and older, you get half-price meals using points, half-price movies, and a free slot tournament. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is Wheel Poker with Quick Quads. This is a 7 coins per line game, which is 1 extra coin for the wheel and 1 extra coin for quick quads. The wheel spins average 157 coins apiece. You get them for every quad and every quick quad. A quick quad is a 3 of a kind where the other 2 cards add up to the rank of the trip, such as 4-4-4, 3 ace, or 9-9-9-5-4, or 10-10-10-5-5. The highest returning game they have there is 99.81%, which is the double-double bonus version. It goes up to quarter 5 play. All right, so we're back to talking about the blackjack ball. We're down to the final contest. It is now down between Wahoo and Tony S. Now, Munchkin displayed 2 well-shuffled single decks, both with the 6 of clubs at the bottom. Players were given a cut card and told to cut at least 10 cards and then to tell how many hands Richard should deal after he burned 1 card so that the 6 of clubs ended up as a dealer's hole card. So, Wahoo, how did you approach this?
It was late at night. I was tired. I had a couple of glasses of champagne. I just did the 17-card cut, which would be if you played 7 spots, you'd burn a card, and the 16th card out would be the dealer's hole card plus the burn card. So I tried to cut 17. As it turns out, I cut 16, but...
Which is pretty close.
Admirable cut under the circumstances.
Right, because whoever, if neither player hits it exactly, whoever's closest is the winner.
And Tony S. cut 9 cards. And since you had to cut at least 10, Tony S. eliminated himself. So Tony S. did well at the final table, came first in a couple of the categories, but he ends up disqualifying himself. Now, I have no ability to cut cards as to a particular number, so I would have dealt just 1 hand. So I would never have been more than 3 cards off if I couldn't get it. If it's just between me and the dealer.
What do you mean you wouldn't be more than 3 cards off?
Well, the first hand is played, and then eventually that's 6 of clubs is going to come out.
No, we're going to deal 1 round.
You did not say you deal in 1 round. It was not part of the rules. You just said
I see what you're saying.
You did not say deal one round.
Well, that's good. I'll know better next year how to phrase it. But I want to say that the ability to cut is probably not as important as the ability to see. So in the case of Tony S., if he were in a casino and had cut nine cards, if his eyes are good enough to know that, he can play four spots or three spots and still deliver that card to the dealer. So, but one of the rules was you got to cut 10 cards. And Wahoo was only off by one.
When it gets to cards and where you cut them, it used to be a trick I had when I was a dealer long, long ago. I would tell the customers that the cards were shuffled just right. And it's always up to the player, whether it's a machine or whether it's hand shuffled. It's up to them to find the lucky spot. So we're going to try to help him. I was just hustling tips, always, obviously. And I came up with the statement, so no matter where you cut, there is a place in a deck where if you cut it right, you're going to win every hand. And I kind of stood by that. And then Munchkin interjected and said, no, there is a setup with one deck where no matter where you cut and no matter how you play the cards, you will lose every hand, correct?
Yeah, well, that's a chapter in James Grosjean's book.
In Grosjean's book. What happens if you spread to two hands?
You know what? I don't remember. I'd have to go back and
look. Was that a heads-up game?
Yeah.
It's been driving me nuts because I said it can't be if you're spreading out to two or three games because you could skew it too badly. So anyway, that'd be an interesting question to have James. If we run it by him, he'll start on it tonight, and he'll have an answer in a billion hands run by tomorrow. So,
okay. All right. So, Wahoo, you had to dodge a couple bullets, but you triumphed. You got it. This was not your first time at the final table. You have been there before. Finally triumphed. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels great. I was very proud of the fact that Max invited me to the first blackjack ball, and as far as I know, I'm the only person that has been to every blackjack ball. Al Francesco and I were tied at 21, but unfortunately he didn't make it this year. So in the 22 blackjack balls, I've finished on the final table five times, and the prior four times I had finished second, third, fourth, and fifth. So I was quite frustrated with myself. This year I did win.
And what are you going to do with that giant bottle of champagne?
Are you looking for volunteers to help you with it?
It's been suggested, once it gets engraved, I could take it down to the pawn shop, Pawn Stars, and it may, it would bring a lot of money,
Or you could have brought it here today, and we could have had some more fun.
But apparently it's worth $2,000 just as a bottle, and the fact
it's... You mean if it's empty, it's worth $2,000?
No. It's a $2,000 bottle. Champagne.
Unless you order it in a nightclub, in which case it's 20, probably.
Exactly. But the fact that it has touched greatness of in that room with 120 or so of the world's greatest players, who knows what the value of that is. So
what are you doing with it?
Well,
he suggested, you're homeless, right? I mean,
he suggested putting it with the Hall of Fame, and we're working on how we move that and where it's going. There's massive construction going on down at Barona right now, but it might fit in nicely at the Blackjack Hall of Fame, too. If he may donate that, or he could probably even write that off if he donated it to that. Yeah, because it looks good. It would be...
That was my thought for all gamblers in the world to enjoy.
That's right. Look at that baby. Just a party waiting to break out.
I told Anthony Curtis he should have his on display down in the lobby of this place. We record at the Las Vegas Advisor offices, for those who don't know.
What was astounding this year is Wally was actually the dark horse coming in. A lot of people thought Rob Wrightson was going to take it because he came in a distinct second last year. And it was interesting because Maria, the Greek that founded the Greek team with her brother, was there, and Tony played with them. She went on the ballot, and she came in third. And all of a sudden, it started stretching out. And with over 125 votes, Wally won by two. What that means is between he and Rob Wrightson, if one person had voted for Rob, it would have swung it to a tie right there.
Well,
he loses a vote, Rob gains a vote.
Or there's some Hall of Fame members had three votes.
Yeah.
So that could have been, like if Richard voted for Wally instead of Rob or the other way around, that's a lot of votes.
It's a ball game. Oh, yeah. Well, that actually makes him a winner. So if one of the Hall of Famers had picked Wrightson instead of you.
Yeah, or even if, you know, just a non-Hall of Famer had voted differently or whatever.
Just one. And it would have been sad because
a tie. What happens in a tie?
I would have said that's really sad and we'll just have to vote next year.
I don't know. I would not think he'd say that. But we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
Would you think Rob was a early favorite for next year?
Yes. However, all of those votes that Wally got, they're going to start getting distributed. And there are some people that have clamored, well, a woman needs to be in there. And I don't believe in an affirmative action program as far as electing someone into the Hall of Fame. But certainly Kat Hulbert is certainly worthy of being in there. And Maria has done some astounding things in her career.
Yeah.
So they belong.
They both have absolutely merit, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they both have all the bona fides. So I wouldn't be surprised if Maria knocked Rob off again. He's been a bridesmaid for a few years there. But she's going to get a lot of votes next year.
As will he.
That went Wally's way. Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. And you're going to have to come up with a method to break a tie, just in case it happens. So.
Yeah, I may have to go back to arm wrestling or something.
We'll have memorized cards.
Yeah, memorized cards. No, you have to do something where you have to be drunk in order to win.
How would Maria do in the arm wrestling?
Hey, she won the blackjack ball one year, and that did. Was a year when there was arm wrestling.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. She's the only woman that's ever won. Yeah, so, and she is retired for the rest of her life, just clapped out and said, thank you very much. She's done.
Yeah, so, we're going to do a show with Maria and Nick, who ran the Greek team. We're
brilliant.
Recording them in a couple of weeks.
Brilliant people. It'll be a great show.
All right, so Max, you had help. You had more help this year than usual putting on the blackjack ball. Did it feel the same to you, or did it feel different somehow?
It felt a little bit different, but without the help, I just wouldn't have been able to do it as well. I had a little bit of a couple issues, and it was had a few things going on, so Munchkin stepped in and helped and really helped getting the people and dealing with all the nonsense because people are clamoring to come and getting out the invitations, deciding who's going where and who's doing what, and it just took a lot of that grief off of my back. So that part was nice. So if anybody had a problem, take it up with Munchkin. So that was nice.
The one thing that was really different is the weather was so nice. You know, we're used to it being winter and cold and dark, and it was light, you know, after dinner had started, and people could go out on the balcony and stuff, and the walk to your house after...
it's about a quarter mile away. Yeah. So.
And it was cold. Not miserable because it was beautiful outside.
Very pleasant out there.
It was. It was just light during dinner, which was kind of always odd with the big windows. Yeah. But.
And it made the after party a lot nicer because people could be outside and...
Yeah, so now I'm going to ask each of you, what's your favorite part of the ball? So, Richard, I'm going to ask you first.
Wow. I guess just being able to see people that I get to see only once a year. That, being able to see and talk to everybody.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask Wally. Now, I'm assuming being elected into the Hall of Fame had to be somewhere near the top. But outside of that, what was your favorite part of the ball?
Well, aside from that, I mean, I have to agree with Richard. You know, back in the old days, everybody that played blackjack lived in Vegas, and you literally couldn't go anywhere without running into another player. And now, you know, the games, everybody's spread out all over the world, and people come in from London and Australia or the East Coast or whatever, and it's just great to get together with those people again.
All right. Now, Wahoo. Again, other than the obvious winning the Gross Gene Cup, what was your favorite part of the ball?
I'd have to agree with both Munchkin and Wally. Personally, I've been a player now for Advantage player for 24 years, and these people
getting younger.
Become your great friends, and many of them you don't see but once a year, but consistently the same people come back no matter what other things they have going on in their life. They always find a way to get back. And then to the event. And then secondarily, I'd like there's an undercurrent of younger players that I wouldn't have any exposure to except for the blackjack party. And it's interesting to hear their ideas and how they attack casinos and make money, which is different than when 20 years ago when I was their age. So, and then I'd also like to say, not only myself, but I know I heard this consistently at the party that people always say about Max, what a special person
was able to organize a group of people like this to have a party that, that no other individual would have ever come up with, because as greatly talented as these players are, most of them are self-directed and maybe a little bit disenfranchised and egomaniacs. And to have someone to coordinate all these people and to, you know, organize this all as a group, you know, when you go to this party, you feel like you're part of some fraternity and you have accomplished something. And the casinos in general make you feel like you're a thief. But, you know, through Max, you know, in the media attention that this event has got, the thought, no, these people are highly skilled and they should be appreciated for what they've accomplished. So on behalf of all the players at the ball, you know, I know many of them, maybe they told Max, maybe they didn't, but we all really appreciate his efforts over the year, because nobody else could have done it.
Well, thanks. Well, that what he just talked about, Wahoo, was that's my favorite part of the ball, just seeing this subculture that I've helped, in some extent, help develop among people. And some of them are from such disparate places, and you would never see them together. But here's the – but people coming from Washington and Singapore and London and – actually seeing each other and hearing what's new on the coast and who's doing what to whom. And it's pretty fun to see that people are still thinking and coming up with new stuff. And these young guard, and of course, a lot of young people want to come and they don't get to, and some other people do, but there's some pretty bright people. And that's part of what Munchkin is in charge of, is vetting who gets to come through the door these days. Because,
oh, great. Oh, put that on me.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people that want to be there, but do they have the chops? And they have to understand that if you get to come once, you got to come once. And that doesn't put you on the lifetime list. And that one gets pretty dicey sometimes. I've heard a lot of feelings over the years and saying, I don't say you're not worthy, but you don't get to come every year. Not everybody does. The place isn't big enough. We only hold 110 at the tables and then wherever. I have to limit it. And it's tough. You got to be an ogre sometimes, but.
I mean, where else in the world can you be in a room with 110 people, like you're saying, and you can turn around and give a bag of money to whoever happens to be sitting next to you and ask them to go out and play and come back and tell you how they did? It's really an amazing group.
It is, and their whole lives are based on honor, and you can do that. And you see guys that haven't seen each other for 4 months, 8 months, that are settling up and said, yeah, we had a place somewhere. How'd you do? There's no inventory control. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You just believe in each other. And then some people go bad. We've all seen it, right? But it's not the main people. It's the ones that come around from the periphery. And that's where it just astounds me that Maria was managing 40 people simultaneously. Just the logistics of that is just mind-boggling.
Well, it's like running a company. I mean, yeah.
With cash and chips. And depending on honesty, because once you get to a certain level in companies, there are a lot of safeguards and inventory controls there, and we don't have any of those. So it's interesting.
True,
too.
True.
Yeah.
We have a little bit more time, so let's review some of the questions we had so our listeners can try it out. One that I did not create, I would have gotten it right. It says, you count down a single deck with just three cards left. Your high-low count is zero, and your silver fox count is also zero. Which of the following statements is true?
A. Must be true.
The last three cards are all the same value. B. There are no aces left. C. There's at least one eight remaining. D. You made a mistake in your count. E. If we use the cards to deal the beginning of a heads-up round of blackjack, an over 13 side bet would be a winner for sure. F. There's no such thing as a silver fox count. Now, did you get this one, Wally?
No.
You did not get this one.
I'd never heard of the silver fox count, to be honest with you.
I didn't either. I thought it referred to Charlie Rich, but I didn't know what it...
There was a guy named Ralph Stricker who... you know, going back 40 years, he was kind of a person in blackjack, and he had come up with that count. And it's just the sevens are plus one and the nines are minus one. So
I read that afterwards.
Yeah, you know, you know, I first heard the question, this is another one that came from James. As he was listing the answers, I was going, well, that's true, that's true, that's true. It's going to be one of these where they're all true. Because my initial thought was, oh, there's 3/8 left. And just sort of not thinking clearly. But then when it got to you made a mistake in your count, I was like, oh, well, now they can't all be true. And it made me go back and rethink and realize, oh, it must be the, you know, only 1/8 is left in the deck. But I thought it was a clever question. And it would be very easy to sort of get it wrong, I thought.
I frankly thought that was one of yours.
No,
I thought you were just, Munchkin's patting himself on the back right now. But no, he's not. But did that come from James?
Yeah.
I didn't know the count.
One that I came up with was true or false, Melania Trump is the first lady who was not born in the United States. Don't know how many missed it. Don't know how many got it right. Did you get that one right, Wahoo?
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. Again, because there was a reference in that question to Virginia.
Not in the question, but in the answer.
In the answer. But did you actually think that? Because it turns out she's not the first. But why?
The original answer that Bob gave was that Martha Washington was the first because she was born in Virginia before it was part of the United States. But John Quincy Adams' wife was born in London. So even if they were complaining about, you know, Martha Washington, there still was somebody else who was not born in the U.S.
I knew the Martha Washington, just
Virginia, right?
Just a big fan of Martha. All right. Wally, did you do that one?
I did get that one, I believe.
Uh-huh. Very good. And one that I thought was, I won't go about the Area 51 Travel Center, although we could, I suppose.
I thought it was a good question. I thought there were a couple other ones that they were kind of gobsmacked with the Barona question, and I would bet that not 10 people got it right. And it was just how many, in part because the people that come to the ball don't play there, how many double decks, full pay double decks are at Barona? It's a .26 game. And it's more than any other casino in the world by close to 35%. And then nobody else is even close to that place. But at Barona, we got 41 double decks. And they're all full every day. 41 full pay double deck games rolling.
At minus .26.
A lot of them wearing disguises?
No, they don't. The people do. Sometimes. Now they think they do. I've seen some of the worst disguises and actually lectured the guy and said, you got to learn how to dress. And he's got on $400 or $500 alligator shoes and a Swiss watch and perfect nails and everything. And he's got a white left hand because he plays golf. And he's got on a $250 pair of slacks. And he's wearing a scruffy hoodie pulled down over his head with sunglasses. And I'll say, come here. You got to change this act. Wear a golf hat that's a Panama. You can see through it, and it completes the ensemble. This just looks out of line, and plus you're sitting at third base, and you're wheeling back around and looking at the boss all the time. You can't do that. I said, you're just lighting the whole place up. You can see you from a mile away. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, the next thing, look at the way you're betting. You're waiting until all the cards are turned over. Well, that's another dead giveaway. You got to stop all this. You're never going to last. You just heated yourself up, and now you don't get to play here anymore. Oh, that's not fair. I'm stuck. So that's, we love it. But
not many casinos give players lessons from the management.
We always. Right. Tips for the card counters.
Always. Give them something. Yep. They give something back. Talk to them. Have a good time. Buy them dinner. Feed them at the table. Whatever.
Yeah,
can't get upset because somebody's trying to make a living.
I think the audience for this show is not the audience you should be telling these stories to.
Well, if it's the
guys.
You're
going to get inundated with guys down there.
Well, it's a long trip, and it's a lot of smart people down there, and that's why we can have them, because people don't last very long. And we don't sweat them, but everybody knows what's going on, so just we don't worry about it. And if they didn't worry about it on the strip, they'd make a whole lot more money.
That is true.
Yep. Card counters cost casinos a lot more money by making casinos do these idiotic countermeasures than they do by winning money.
Well, when you think about the time they spend shuffling with these complex shuffles and all this sort of thing, and they could be getting in.
It's absurd.
An incredible number of hands per hour
They're doing. Just all these things they do that they think are countermeasures, but you can't measure training. And that's who makes all the decisions, our CFO. So.
What irritates me is, you know, back when Ed Thorpe was around, you know, playing, and the casinos changed their rules, and then, you know, the normal people stopped playing blackjack because the rules got bad. Now you walk into a casino and the 6-to-5 games, I just don't get it anymore. Are people, you know, not as savvy as they used to be about these sort of things?
No, and they kind of don't care. They're just running through and making a play. And the casinos are making about the same amount of money with lot smaller bets. And the people that will play a 6-5 will play at about a 1.5% worse than what the house edge anyway. So you're making about the same amount of money as you would on a quarter game that's out there on the floor. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense. The ones I actually kind of like, and they've got a pretty high house edge, but from a player's perspective, is the volatility is down. So you get a lot of time on device, but you still wind up losing your money, but you could play all night because they have that push. And those are the Jeff Hall hybrid games, like free bet blackjack and
blackjack switch
and those games. Mm. Because when the dealer busts with a 22, you don't take their money, you just push it. And they don't think it happens very often, but it's 6% of the time, and it adds up. But you can make money on a $10 game, $15, and they have a good time for a couple $100. The locals,
you would think that casinos wouldn't want to fleece their customers so fast that they don't want to come back on another trip or something. You
know? They live by this notion that there is an unlimited amount of bankrolls and an unlimited amount of time, and somebody's waiting in line. So the faster you get that guy, the faster this next person's going to set out. And they couldn't be more wrong. And, there's limitations. And there's time, money, and desire. And if you create the desire, they'll find the time and the money. But part of that desire is not feeling like a sucker. And you just throw out all bad games to people. You lose them. And they have lost them. And
yeah,
they don't get the level of play they used to get in town. And they should. But there's other things they can do with their money.
Well, maybe the worm will turn and they'll get forced to put in some good games again. So.
Well, Caesars is experimenting with the Cromwell. They have 3-to-2 blackjack, single zero roulette. You know, they're really trying to loosen up the Cromwell. Now the question is, if they do start making more money on the games, will that bleed over to other Caesars properties, or are they?
It's very difficult to do with the recreational gambler, too, because they don't really even know the difference. And for them to measure that over the course of a month or two or three, you're not going to see any difference at all because of the returning and all that. If you're in a locals market, you see it pretty fast. But it's tough if you're out there on the strip because people are moving. They don't have a lot of time. They sit and there's not a compelling reason to stay. And 3-to-2 versus 6-5. Pretty much isn't enough in their minds. You're always thinking about what do they think? Well, I got a blackjack anyway. How often does that happen? Right? And we know every 21 hands. But in the minds of the players, they kind of don't care if they're only playing 30 minutes or an hour and they're going to dinner or something. They don't care if it's 6-5
or 3-2.
Those
aren't the people that the casinos really make the money from.
Right.
They make the money from the guy who's going to sit down and play all night and have a bunch of drinks. And
how's the Cromwell get that guy?
Well, but if the guy's staying at the Flamingo and he sees that the Cromwell has 3-to-2 blackjack and the Flamingo has 6-to-5, I think he's going to walk over.
And he may,
but
particularly same parent companies, that sort of thing, where they can share comps and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think you could have something there. But it's good that they're testing it anyway, seeing what will happen. It used to be great games in there when Gon had it.
Yeah.
That was a great place.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Max Rubin.
It is always a pleasure to be here.
So this is Reverend Max preaching to the choir again. We have Wahoo. Congratulations on finally breaking through.
Thank you. Look forward to defending my championship next year.
If Max lets you play and doesn't kick you out for taking too long, there's going to be the Wahoo rule. Is that right?
That's going to be. Ain't no more slow rolling going to happen.
All right.
He got me once, though. That's okay.
Wally Simmons, congratulations on you finally breaking through.
Well, thank you. It's been very enjoyable talking to you fellas.
Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.